Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogan, and I'm talking here to Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country or from triathlon to road riding. And this time I'm talking to Andrea Maranelli, who is always good for a nice video edit. And in this episode, we're talking about the production and the idea behind his new video project, Always Late 2. Hey, Andrea, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
Hello. Thanks to you. I'm in Gardasee, well, new to Gardasee, as German people say, or Gardalake, as probably the rest of the world says. Let's say the majority of people here are Germans, then I would also say Gardasee. Yeah. And this is where I'm from. So I'm from Rovereto, which is, let's say, the closest city to the north part of Gardasee.
Yeah, okay. It's a pretty beautiful place, and it's probably weather's probably a little bit better than here in central Germany.
Yeah, I can't complain. It is super sunny as of right now, and you know, like riding wise, for me, weather conditions are one of the most important thing, and motivates me a lot to, you know, like keep on riding as soon as I see the sun. And therefore, that's one of the main reasons why I decided to move back to here instead of living in Innsbruck anymore.
Yeah, I mean, last time we did the podcast, it was mid-2021, and that time you were still living in Innsbruck together with Fabio. And when did you decide to move back to Italy?
Yeah, you know, like our lives, it's always a roller coaster. We are changing our ideas and minds rather fast, and therefore there was, let's say, the new chapter for Fabio to go to Monaco, and therefore he moved there. And at that point, also myself decided to move back to Italy. Mm-hmm. And this happened, I think, last year in September, October. We took the decision to slowly, you know, like change our minds, and therefore he went there and I came back to Italy. We're still working together, let's say, on a daily basis because of mainly because of our project, which is Bike Flip. Mm-hmm. But in general, we are not set in Innsbruck anymore, and the idea behind that mainly, I'm not even joking, it is because of the weather.
Okay.
So, of course, in Monaco, it's even better. But definitely in Italy, I feel that the temperature, on average, it is higher than in Austria.
Yeah.
Even though it's not so different, but, you know, like those 3 or 4 degrees are making a huge difference whenever you're riding your bike, especially in winter.
Yeah,
and definitely. Last but not least, from my side, it was also very cool to come back because that gives me a lot of opportunities in terms of riding motorbikes in the winter period. Mm-hmm. Since I'm living here next to Arco, so Pietramurata, I have the chance to ride a lot of motorbikes during the winter period, which is something I really like.
Yeah, and I think it's a pretty good training, huh? If you're normally in the winter, you're not able to ride that long trails, and the motorbike still keeps your body alive and yeah, get you trained for long trails in the summer.
It is, definitely. I mean, to be honest, I think it is the best training for mountain biking, if you ask me.
Yeah, definitely. Especially speed and all that stuff. It's good for your head, if you're not crashed.
Exactly, but also for your body. It's really, you know, like, it trains you a lot.
Yeah.
Mind-wise and also physically-wise.
I mean, you're pretty known for all the trail business and the videos you've done in the past, but you're also a pretty good mountain biker. Was it also a reason to go back to Lake Garda because there are so many good trails you can ride whole year round?
Yeah, in general, you know, like I didn't really mention before that I've been living in Innsbruck for 5 years, so, you know, like it's also cool at a certain point in life to decide to get back to, you know, like where your, let's say, old and real friends are, or where your family is, and so on and so forth. So that's, of course, let's say, one of the main reasons. But riding wise, it is, as I said before, great. So also in terms of trails, and, you know, like I'm also having a collaboration together with the Paganella Bike Park, and therefore it's just easier for me to reach out to, you know, like places where I can ride and then working together with.
Yeah.
And again, last but not least, the weather again plays a big role. Those, let's say, are the main important reasons why we decided to move from Innsbruck.
So it's probably a pretty good move. So especially in the last couple of months, we see you a lot on an e-bike. So how do you ride e-bike, and how does the weight fits to your riding style, which comes from trail biking?
So I really enjoy riding e-bikes in general. It's something that I think gives you just more opportunities in general. So you can, you know, like ride uphill way more than what you do on a normal bike, and you can have more fun than whenever you're riding downhill. Mm-hmm. And I think that, to be honest, that's a little bit the future of the bike industry, at least for the next couple of years. And therefore, I really enjoy riding this kind of bike. And of course, I can't, you know, like miss the part of trials riding with these kind of bicycles. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, it is, of course, harder than using a normal mountain bike, and of course, even harder than using a normal trials bike. But that's also the fun part of it. So, you know, like a lot of people are used to use e-bikes, and therefore they know how heavy an e-bike is and how hard it is to make some specific things on these kind of bicycles, and therefore that's really what I enjoy, that you know, like I can make something different first of all, and then I can make something which is also understandable from the majority of the riders out there. And in general, you can still try to, let's say, do normal techniques, trials techniques on the e-bike, even though of course the weight plays a huge role. My way of approaching the trials world on an e-bike is just to try to make everything as close as possible to the motorbike trials riding, mm-hmm. which means that, you know, like I try to really do stuff in a little bit with flow, and, you know, like always keep on moving, and without backhops, without too many backhops and backwheel hops and so on and so forth. I'm trying to, you know, like ride and I really enjoy that. I think the key is just to know how the motor works and to somehow be able to understand what happens whenever you pedal, because mm-hmm. you have to be really coordinated. I mean, your body has to be really coordinated to whatever the bike does. You don't have, you know, like any room of error to, you know, like with a trials bike, for example, if you pull or if you push, then your body can really move the bike. With the e-bike, you know, like it's pretty heavy, and therefore you have to be really connected to the bike, and every single move you do, it has to have a sense on the bike. Mm-hmm.
But using the engine, as you said, to do your trails move, how much had you changed your typical riding style or the technique to get used to using the motor to get the support?
So it's not really true that I'm using the motor to get the support. So I'm usually keeping it to eco mode. So the lowest possibility, or I mean, it depends on the bicycles, but let's say the one that pushes the less, just because it's more similar to a normal bike. Mm-hmm. Because whenever it's on boost, or, you know, like whenever it gives a lot of power, then it's really hard to control. Okay. Just for the sake of it, as an example, whenever you're trying to wheelie with an e-bike in let's say boost mode, it's harder than trying to wheelie with an e-bike on eco mode, at least for my perspective.
Okay.
Because it's much more nervous whenever you have it on boost. What I'm trying to do on the e-bike is just to, you know, like keep it on boost, because on eco, because that it is only what gives you the feeling that the bike doesn't, it's not that heavy, let's say. Mm-hmm. But it's also the one that you can really control. So whenever you pedal, you know what happens, and you don't have this, you know, like push from the motor, which is hard to control.
Yeah, okay. So this is,
this of course depends. I mean, if I'm doing proper trials move, that's the way I use it, which is different, of course, if you tell me to do a big uphill, a ramp, or so on and so forth, going uphill, then at that point, of course, I'm using also the boost mode, mode, just to have, you know, like more power from the engine. But in a normal ways, whenever I'm doing trials, I'm keeping it on the eco mode.
Okay, this is really interesting, because I thought it's completely the opposite way. So using the boost mode the whole time to get this little kick from the motor. But it's understandable that it's not that easy to control it. So do you fine-tuning your motor? Because some motors are connected to an app and you can adjust the certain level, so eco, boost and all that stuff. Do you do that stuff, or are you using a full factory setting?
To be fair, I'm probably the worst guy to ask those questions, because I'm really a default guy in general. I'm really not spending too much time, changing stuff. Also the parameters of the bike itself. I'm usually one kind of this person which gets the bike and then rides it straight away, which of course maybe can be not so beneficial. But
I just pump up the tires and go.
Exactly. I don't not pump too much the tires, but I pump a lot the shock and the fork. That's of course the case, but that's it more or less. So I do not really spend too much time considering, you know, like the position of the handlebar or the for example, as you said, the setup of the motor and so on and so forth. I was doing quite a lot this kind of stuff when I was competing the trials competitions.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I was really freaking out having 3 grams more or less on the bike. And I think it also makes sense whenever you're doing competitions, especially, for example, in that case, in the trials world, whenever, you know, like it doesn't really change too much on the single move. So on the single jump, it doesn't change too much. But whenever you have to, you know, like hop your bike 300 times during a competition, then it makes difference if you have 100 grams less or more on the bike. Mm-hmm. But in general, you know, like I also realized during the years that it's more the effort you put into changing stuff on the bike rather than, you know, like in the end, the outcome of what you're doing on the bike itself. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do it probably the same way. I mean, I really like mountain biking and not so much changing all that stuff. And I just go and ride and don't care too much about all the techniques.
But honestly, sometimes this is also hard for me, because whenever I'm getting asked, for example, what's the pressure of your tires or what's the PSI you have in the shock and so on and so forth, I'm really having a hard time to tell them people what I do. I don't really have a setup which is my own setup, and I always keep that.
Okay, that's interesting. So seeing you so much on the e-bike, can we expect some e-bike trials movies in the past? in the future.
I got it. I, as I said, I don't want to, you know, like say anything in that regard, because that's definitely something I'm working on, but I don't want to say yet what I'm working on and when it would be released.
Okay, so last year you released a really, really cool video, Always Late 2, which was probably one of the best videos in 2022, because it was such a nice edit, not just writing wise, which was amazing, but also the whole movie was really well directed, and it looks like a really big thing to film such a video. How many days or how long have you worked on this project?
So we've been working on the project for 10 days. We've been in Napoli, in Naples, for 10 days, which is the city where we filmed the video. Mm-hmm. And I was supported, so the team was made of 3 people, 1 drone, and 1 photographer and video maker, and 1 videomaker, and the other one was a video maker. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it was, of course, one of the best projects I've done so far, and I'm really stoked on that. And as you said, we really put a lot of focus on the video itself and not only on the writing. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to have a story behind that, and I really want to push, let's say, a series of video, which is called, as you know, Always Late. And therefore, I'm really also planning to release new videos in the next years, and having, let's say, like a little bit of a series on, let's say, just for the sake of it, on Netflix. So mm-hmm. where you have new episodes coming out, and there is a story behind that. And as you know, like the Always Late 2 starts with me going away from the office where I landed in Always Late 1. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like the third one will again start as the last part of Always Late 2. And as I said, I really want to put a lot of effort and focus on what's let's say the overall video, to create such a good project, to me feels like something I really enjoy.
Yeah, and it really worked. So I mean, it's really impressive to see, and for all the people who haven't seen Always Late 2, I really recommend to doing it. But could you quick explain the story behind Always Late 2?
Yeah, for sure. So as I said before, it starts with the end of Always Late 1, where I got to work to dealership. Mm-hmm. And then I just escaped from that kind of job. And therefore, from there, I used to use a very old bike, a commuting bike, very old one.
Yeah.
And then with that kind of bike, I ride till Napoli, which, you know, like in the video, it takes a couple of seconds, but it was actually a real effort to film those 3 seconds of the video, because we actually went to Florence, then we went to Rome, and, you know, like we did quite some step to have this 1 second clip. And then I arrived in Napoli, where I get to my, let's say, my new job, which is a pizza delivery guy. And the guys from the pizzeria give me the new bicycle, which is the Canyon Spectral I'm using in the video. Mm-hmm. And then from that moment on, I start to, you know, like deliver pizza in the overall country or the city of pizzas, because actually pizzas were, let's say, made for the first time in Napoli. And that's actually such a cool city that maybe we can spend a couple of words on that as well afterwards. But yeah, I just keep on giving pizzas to people, and it ends when I get a punch on my face from someone because, you know, like the pizza that I give him is, of course,
it's not in the best shape anymore.
Yeah, it's not the best shape anymore, and therefore I get a punch on my face, and therefore, I have a blackout, and then from that moment on, we start the third episode of Always Late 2. Okay. Always Late 3.
Okay, cool. So can't wait to see Always Late 3. Because, yeah, I mean, the videos you're doing, they are so different to most of the other stuff, and it's really nice. But, I mean, doing all this trial stuff and all this super fast riding through the city, how hard was it to wearing this big backpack with the pizzas? I mean, it looks so weird.
Yeah, to be honest, the overall, let's say, Always Late episodes are not too easy. I mean, starting from the first one with the very old commuting bike, that was actually very hard to do trials move on that bike. And in regard of Always Late 2, of course, the main issue was the big bag on my back.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like as you can see, it is quite disturbing whenever I'm doing trials move.
Yeah, I mean, it's moving
but
around.
But in the end, it worked.
it was moving all the time. I mean, it was, wasn't it super sketchy to wear it?
Definitely, 100%.
Yeah,
I can only agree on that.
Yeah,
but that was the fun part of it. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, so I've never been to Napoli, and that video really makes me to want to go there because it's such a nice city. So what is your connection to Napoli? Was it just the pizza thing or?
Yeah, exactly. So whenever, let's say, Enrico, so the guy, one of the video maker behind Always Late 1 and Always Late 2, and I were thinking about where to shoot the second episode of Always Late, we're thinking about this pizza delivery thing, and we immediately thought about Napoli, since, again, it's the, let's say, mother of pizzas, mm-hmm, city. And therefore we went there, and it was actually the first time for myself being there.
Okay.
I've been traveling the overall Italy in every single corner, but Napoli, I haven't been there anytime soon and before Always Late 2. Mm-hmm. And I was so, it's really something else. So to be fair, it is something completely different from every other city in Italy.
Okay.
It has its own taste, and also Italian people say that either you love it, either you hate it, because it's so, it's such a, I'm not saying a mess in terms of, you know, like in a bad way, but it's so, you know, like it's full of people. There's so much traffic jam. Everyone is, you know, like on the trumpets, like me, 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 every second. And it gives a lot of stress, to be honest, to live there and to also film Always Late too, because, you know, like you're always surrounded by people, and, you know, like they keep on asking you what you do and which kind of bicycle is that, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But that's also the cool part of it. So on the one hand, they are happy to help you for everything, And this is something I really enjoyed, and obviously too, because as you probably have seen, there are so many people involved in the video.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it was so cool. Everyone was just super chill and super cool to be part of obviously too. And they really helped me in creating the video. And that's, let's say, the best part that the part I loved the most out of that project. Mm-hmm. And the city itself, as I said, it's full of spots, full of stairs, and the vibes are just super cool. It was the best match ever for my video, to
okay.
be honest.
Yeah, it looked really cool, but I mean, moving around in a super crowded city with a lot of camera gear and then riding as fast as you did in the video, it's probably super super dangerous to do it, and even having the spot to ride, it's pretty hard to get, right?
Yeah, exactly. And especially if you think that we were in such a big team, and you're like, we had to take care of everything. So shooting the video, writing myself, and then also taking care, let's say, of the stuff we had there, including bicycles, because of course we were moving through the city with bicycles, and you know, like, every time we had to park these two or three or even four bikes, and you know, like, film, and it was quite stressful, to be honest. And we didn't really have any single problem in Napoli, and therefore everything went in the best way as possible. In the best way we could have thought, mm-hmm. But in general, you know, like, I was getting home in the evening that, yeah, I was literally destroyed, in the sense that, you know, like, you have to keep on thinking and you have to write, and then, you know, like, things are definitely not coming at the first try. Also, that's a topic that, you know, like, it might look easy as the whenever you look at the outcomes or the final video, but every single thing I did, it took me quite some tries to be done. And therefore, let's say, Fabio always says that, but I can only confirm that recording such projects, it is definitely quite a big effort.
Yeah. In this project, you filmed a lot with a FPV drone, which gave you a lot of really, really cool angles. How different was it for you to not seeing the camera and still doing the best riding you possible can do?
Yeah, it was actually my very first project with an FPV drone, and I'm again super stoked on the outcome. And the guy which was behind the drone is a friend of mine, which started to do these kind of things not too long time ago, but is really such a machine that I can't wait to work again together with him. And I love how the videos are, you know, like, in Overslay too. And thanks a lot to the video from the drones, if the project is turned out to be such a cool project.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, like, without being so used such drones, it was actually hard to understand the timing. And, you know, like, in such a crowded city, it was full of things in between, which was also super hard for the drone pilot to, you know, like, keep the shot in the right way, to get the shot in the right way. And therefore, we had definitely a hard time to get those shots from the drone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it definitely was worth it, because it's a completely different angle, and it adds so much more speed to the video. It's so cool. So glad you did.
Yeah, to be fair, I think there was not too many videos out there, you know, like, where a drone FPV was used in such a way in a city.
Yeah.
So it really gives a cool effect.
So last year you did this video project, and what's coming up in 2023? Any big plans? Any new video? Is Always Late 3 coming up this year?
That would be my plan, yeah. I can't wait. Oh, well, I can't tell anything yet on regard of when we'll do it, and especially where we will do it, because that's the main topic I'm trying to figure it out, because it's hard also to find a city which has such a good vibe as Napoli, or which is such good connected to the project I'm doing, you know what I mean? So I'm really trying to do a little bit of a spot checking within, let's say, all Europe, to find a good city which fits to my next project, because even there you can imagine that I'll do a job which is of course different from pizza delivery and from working a car dealership.
Yeah.
But it has to be connected to the city that I'm gonna where I'm gonna be shooting the video.
But it's not in Italy anymore, it's anywhere else?
Well, let's say that the spot I'm currently looking at, it is in Italy. Mm-hmm. But there's also a similar city, at least from my personal feelings, which is not in Italy.
Okay.
So if it's not working, the one in Italy, then I might go away from Italy, which is also cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm honestly looking forward to that because I've been so stoked on the last video that I can't wait to shoot Always Say 3.
And will it start in hospital?
What, sorry?
Will it start in hospital? So how hard was the hit from the from the guy?
Yeah, maybe I can give a little bit of a hint from the Always Say 3 video. I don't want it to start from the hospital. I want it to start from let's say how is it called, like a ship in the middle of nowhere in the sea.
Ah, okay. That's
where
funny.
I kind of like, yeah, I wake up and I'm like, where, you know, like, am I? Where? Why am I here? And then from there it starts the overall story.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting. So I can't wait to see the final project, and I wish you all the best in the whole production process of the video. I know it's a lot of work and a lot of stuff you need to figure out. And I definitely hope that we talking again when you release the new video. And I wish you all the best and a good start
into the
new season with a lot of new stuff. So thanks.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. Bye bye. Cheers to everybody.